Police Court. Joseph R. Jackson and J. H. Laity were arrested Saturday last and charged with vagrancy, each being given 15 days, and both now being engaged on the useful work of fixing up the city streets. Percy McLeod was arrested Saturday night, and was charged Monday morning with being drunk and disorderly, and falling through a window on Cranbrook Street. He was fined $5 in costs, and had the damages to pay. Mike Korick, Jacob Gonick and Andrew Lusky were arrested Sunday morning for fighting on Van Horn Street, and appeared in court Monday morning, and each fined $5 or 10 days. They all preferred to help fix up the city streets rather than part with the cash. The chief searched their rooms after arrest, and found a quart bottle partly filled with liquor in each room. This morning, before Judge Arnold, Archie McDonald was charged with being drunk and incapable on Baker Street at 11 o'clock Wednesday night. He claimed that he was drugged. He had been drinking whiskey for about 30 years and it had never served him like that before. He was fined $5 or 10 days, and is trying to raise the fine. Cigar selling. Mr. Sidney Elmer, of Vancouver, representing the McLeod Nolan Company, Cigar Manufacturers of London, Ont, was in the city this week transacting business with his many customers and incidentally renewing old acquaintances. Sid, as he is popularly known, was a former resident of Cranbrook, having lived here during his boyhood days and attended school with many of the younger set still living here. Returns wounded. Private James George, who left Cranbrook with the 54th Battalion, just about 2 years ago, arrived home Monday. He was wounded in the back being struck with a piece of shrapnel shell, and has still to undergo the operation of having the piece of iron removed. After being in Ypres and Armentières, Private George has seen some hard fighting, and feels quite satisfied that he has done his bit. There is no doubt in his mind that the Germans will be on the run this spring, and that their best men are all gone. His work was chiefly in the bombing section, and his first experience when first arriving at the trenches was to fall in a shell hole on top of a dead man. His family were glad to get him home again, safe, even if not exactly sound. Eager Heart Club. On Tuesday evening, March 27, a debate was held between the members of the Eager Heart Club and King Edward School discussing the need or not of conscription. Nora Pownall, King Edward School, spoke of the advantages of conscription. She showed strongly the benefits gained physically. Muriel Baxter spoke against it. Her arguments showing how Britain had never forced men to enlist, but had always been victorious, also that men brought in under conscription did not fight with the same will and courage as those who enlist voluntarily. It also educates the young along a military line. Bertha Gill, seconding Nora Pownall, spoke of how the 500,000 men promised by Canada were not forthcoming. Is Canada a failure? Therefore, those who did not have the pride and courage to enlist should be made to do so, thus putting all men on an equal footing. Doris Lees, seconding Muriel Baxter, also gave a convincing and interesting paper. The casting vote showed the larger number of junior members against conscription and the vote of the seniors being in favor of it, and very much regret that some of the young men of the town were not there. A vote of thanks was tendered Miss Woodland as chairlady and also to the members of King Edward School. Secretary, Eager Heart Club. News from the front. Dear Mr. Bridge. A package of smoking materials from the Congregation of Christ Church reached me today, and I take this early opportunity of expressing, through you, my sincere thanks for this kindly gift which I much appreciate. The number of Cranbrook boys at South Camp, Seaford, was considerably increased last week when the 225th reached here. Have not been able to see any of my Cranbrook friends yet, as I regret to say I have been in hospital for the past month. A severe cold which I contracted at Christmas, after a spell of bad weather, refused to be shaken off, and eventually settled on my lungs. Am glad to say I am getting along satisfactorily, but do not expect to be fit for duty for a little while yet. The past few weeks have been unusually cold for this country, but the weather is improving and at present is almost spring-like. About 125 men from the BC Company, of 196th Battalion, left for France today. It is hard lines to be doing nothing in England, instead of being along with them. With kindest regards, sincerely yours, R.T. Williams. Number 911,999th Reserve Baton. Canadian Circa O. Army P.O. London, Eng. February 13, 1917. Dramatic evening. The last of the dramatic evenings in the parish hall was attended by a large crowd. The program included readings from Shakespeare's Richard II, in a costume performance of a scene from King John. Miss Roberts acted the highly emotional part of the young Prince Arthur, with great vigor and ability, and Mr. Bridge appeared with effect as Hubert. Mr. Davidson made a good ruffian. The pupils of King Edward School again did themselves credit in a delightful choral piece, and Mrs. Whitehouse at the piano was very much appreciated. The quarrel between Sir Peter and Lady Teazle from The School for Scandal, read by Miss Roberts and Mr. Bridge, caused a great deal of merriment. Altogether, the series of evenings designed to bring some good music and literature to the people has proved most successful, and the appreciation shown very gratifying. Fundraising. Private F.L. Watts, who is home on sick leave after being down with a severe attack of pneumonia, has been trying to raise funds for the hospital at New Westminster at which he was treated. This is the hospital for returned soldiers, and $50 provides one bed. $66.50 was collected at Wattsburg, and $11.50 at Cranbrook, and is to be forwarded to Mayor Gray, New Westminster. Sold to Joe Walkley. Mr. B. Palmer, after a residence of some 10 years in Cranbrook, has sold his lovely home, adjoining town, to Mr. Joe Walkley, and will be leaving with Mrs. Palmer for Vancouver sometime near the 15th of next month. Mr. and Mrs. Palmer will be greatly missed in the town and district, both having been good workers in matters connected with the welfare of the community. Their children all being at the coast now, they naturally wish the family to be again united, and Mr. and Mrs. Palmer are reluctantly severing their connection with Cranbrook. Daylight service on the Crow Line. Cranbrook and Crow's Nest points will be pleased to hear that the fight for a return of the daylight service over the Crow's Nest line of the CPR has borne fruit, and that a daylight passenger train has been promised. The announcement was made by General Superintendent Cameron, following a conference of district superintendents at Calgary. The new train will run between Cranbrook and Lethbridge, and it is understood it will be put in operation with the commencement of the summer schedule in June. Cranbrook, Lethbridge, and intermediate towns have fought hard for a return of this service for the past year. The Boards of Trade have taken the matter up on various occasions, and many appeals have been made to the railway company to increase the service through the Crow Line, where only one train each way a day has been in service since 1914. It is understood the new train will leave Lethbridge at 2:15 p.m. The service will be a great boon to the commercial travelers who make Lethbridge their headquarters and will be well patronized by them. It is understood the other train service affecting the Lethbridge division will remain practically as it is in the summer schedule. Cranbrook Visitor. Major Ernest Sims, of Winnipeg, Men's Social Secretary for Canada West, will visit Cranbrook on Saturday and Sunday, March 31, April 1. He will conduct the weekend services in the SA Hall, Hanson Avenue. On Saturday evening at 8 p.m. the Major will give a lecture entitled, Twice Born Men, and on Sunday evening his topic will be, Your Past, Present and Future Will Be Told. All are welcome to these meetings. Women's Institute. On Tuesday afternoon, April 3, the regular monthly meeting of the Women's Institute will take place at the Parish Hall, commencing at 3 p.m. sharp. Mrs. L. Clapp will give a demonstration on various ways of cooking eggs. There will be a competition for members only, and two prizes will be awarded for best made design for a quilt. Materials will be furnished for competition with the exception of thimbles, so members kindly note. A musical program is being arranged and refreshments will be served. Visitors will be cordially welcomed. Farming operations extended. Many of the farmers are extending their operations this spring in the way of mixed and dairy farming, and one that may be noted this week is the Wallace Ranch, 3 miles from town on the Perry Creek Road. The framework is up for a large dairy barn, built on the eastern plan, with stone foundation, and driveway through the center. 54 by 34, with an approach 18 by 54. It will have a capacity of 50 head of stock, and an overhead mow for 50 tons. Purebred Ayrshire is the kind Mr. Wallace is handling, and with a start of 13 head, he intends to build up a first-class dairy herd. We are pleased to note that the cream is to be brought in to the Cranbrook Creamery, and wish Mr. Wallace and son Clark, all success.